I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention just released a first-of-its-kind report on the threat of antibiotic-resistant organisms in the United States.
The conclusion, if things don't change, we could soon be in a post-antibiotic era.
That sounds pretty scary, but what does it mean exactly? Bridget Paff is the infection control specialist for Gunderson Health Systems, and she joins us to explain what's going on. Bridget, thanks for being with us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, antibiotic-resistant organisms aren't a new problem. Why is this report raising a few eyebrows?
Well, I think it's raised some eyebrows because it's the first time that we've really shined a spotlight from the CDC to everyone in the community to say, hey, there's 15 organisms in this list that we're very concerned about. I think in the past we've seen some minor outbreaks of community-associated MRSA or methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, or for common terms to say the superbugs that are out there, whether those outbreaks are in football fields or wrestling locker rooms. It's something that, you know, resistant organisms used to be a thing of, you know, if you look to the nursing homes, and we didn't worry about them, and it's really shining that spotlight on these 15 germs.
Hmm. Well, before we go on to talk about how they've become so resistant, let's talk about how pervasive this issue is. Do you know how many people are affected by antibiotic-resistant organisms these days?
Well, I think each year over 2 million people are infected with a bacteria that has some type of resistance to at least one type of antibiotic. And I think if we look at history, you know, Fleming discovered penicillin way back in 1928. And within, you know, a few years of it being mass produced, there was resistance to penicillin in the community. So it's not, I think antibiotics are one of those few drugs that when overused, it actually decreases their effectiveness versus some most medications. Overuse would lead to other problems.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You mentioned antibiotic use is contributing to this issue. What are some other factors?
Well, they definitely are also utilized as growth promoters in agriculture. A study done right here in Wisconsin back in 2006 was one example that looked at linking infections from the turkey farms to the grocery stores to hospitalized patients. So it is what we're doing in feeding animals in the community as we're raising our food differently than our ancestors did. Again, thinking that pre-antibiotic era and how life was different then and the things that we have done to improve that is in that study, the research showed that there was an association between the human carriage of resistance genes and eating poultry or handling that raw meat.
Hmm. Well, one thing that I think about, especially when I'm going through the grocery store and looking at all the available cleaning products out there, is I see a lot of antibacterial wipes, antibacterial sprays, and I'm wondering if that is also contributing to the problem, or are we talking about a different class of bacteria altogether when we talk about these resistant strains?
Well, I like to say typically in a lot of the infection control talks we give that mom was right, elbow grease and good old-fashioned vinegar are great house cleaning agents, and making sure that we don't jump onto the hype wagon of saying, well, which chemical should I use? What's going to be the best germ-killing power that these items that I have? Many of those products have an agent called triclosan in them, and there have been some studies that show triclosan in high concentrations can impact and cause the same type of resistance that we look for in these superbugs.
Hmm. So, you know, what are the role of our physicians in this? Can you say that physicians are generally prescribing antibiotics responsibly, or are they being overprescribed in a way?
Well, I think here at Gunderson Health System, we've had an antibiotic stewardship program. This is something that's in place in many hospitals across the state. And it really requires a multidisciplinary approach. The physician, nurse practitioners, especially those nurse practitioners on the front lines, whether they're in small one-room clinics or family medicine doctors in rural clinics play a huge role. The pharmacist plays a role in those patients who are here in our hospitals. Again, antibiotic resistance isn't a problem as much for my adolescent or my young child in in the elementary school as it is for something that we would be concerned about in an intensive care unit patient who has many tubes and drains coming in and out following a horrible surgery, et cetera. So there's many healthcare workers that play a role in antibiotic resistance and that antibiotic stewardship programs, but the public also plays a role in this, in that not to go for every sniffle and sneeze to seek out your medical provider and ask for that antibiotic. So we've been fortunate here in our community. We've had a collaborative effort among the health systems to really try to have one approach across the community. And I think that's why maybe the state of Wisconsin continues to see a little bit lower numbers than some other states in terms of resistance. But these superbugs are certainly something, as the CDC report alludes to, that there's not a lot of antibiotics in research and development right now. So it's a complex process, and we need to be aware and prepared for those things.
So have we gotten too squeamish about bacteria? And as we come into the doctor's clinic and sort of demand antibiotics, what message are the doctors giving, and what education are you putting forth about it?
We definitely have a lot of information readily available in our clinics about how to do symptomatic treatment for those common colds, things that, again, not every sore throat is a strep throat, so not everything requires antibiotics, and ensuring that patients hear from their providers that they definitely want to help them get better, and sometimes a little chicken soup might be just what the doctor ordered.
Did I hear you say that there aren't a lot of new antibiotics in development right now?
Well, getting a new drug to market is a long, complex process. So if I was going to invest my resources, investing in something that a patient might get prescribed for high blood pressure for the next 20 years would be a lot better than investing in an antibiotic that might lead to several 5 to 10 day courses of prescriptions being written. Now, does that mean there's no research around antibiotics and new antibiotics? No, definitely not. The NIH and other national organizations are evaluating. And I think a part of what the CDC is asking for in reviewing this report and these highly resistant bacteria is saying we need to pay attention to this as a society, because superbugs are not just a hospital problem anymore. It's a problem facing each and every one of us.
So what action can we individually put forth in order to keep from exacerbating this problem?
Looking at those things where you don't have a high fever, if you've just got the sniffles, considering not overusing those antibiotics for yourself personally. Just as you talked about those antibacterial agents in our home, yes, definitely some of them have a place. But to require that every particular item that you put into your home must be antibacterial, I think we've seen sort of a shift among our marketing out there as I look at the shelves myself to more green cleaning products and making sure that we play a role in that so that we're not potentially impacting things. And then looking at resources for hospitals to implement those antibiotic stewardship programs. So I think it's really a joint effort. And I think there's no infection control lesson that's complete without saying, keep your hands clean, either hand sanitizers or wash them with soap and water and rinse away the grime if you've gotten them grossly soiled. Things that in the locker room adolescents can be thinking about, or parents of adolescents should be evaluating what they are sharing in that locker room, not sharing towels or personal hygiene items. making sure that if somebody has an open or draining wound, that they're not participating in contact sports and or that that wound is covered.
So in our last minute here, if I do get a superbug, what are my options?
Well, there are some organisms that still have some treatment options. Some of that might include drainage of the lesion or wound. If you do receive an antibiotic for a noted infection, you do want to make sure that you take all of the doses, even if your infection seems to be getting better and you think that you don't need to complete it. So some antibiotics may still be effective. This information, you know, over 2 million resistant organisms in the last year really does indicate that they're resistant to at least one class of antibiotics, not necessarily that they're resistant to everything across the board. And if other people, especially with some of these skin infections that you live with, get the same infection, whether that's painful lesions that oftentimes people think is a spider bite, that they should tell them to go to their regular health care provider to have that evaluated.
Well, Bridget, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
That's Bridget Paff. She's the infection control specialist for Gunderson Health System.